If you haven't run like that for a while, does it ever feel good? When the Spirit of the Lord used to hit me in days gone by, it'd be nothing for me to run around the place and actually start shouting and praising God. And I know that would offend some people, but I didn't do it for that. I did it because the Spirit on the inside was so strong and directed me so directly to do that, that I did it. When you talk about running in the Bible, it talks about in the Old Testament how the prophet ran up to the king's chariot who had the best and the fastest horses, and he overtook them. You talk about Stephen in the book of Acts who ran up to the chariot of the eunuch, overtook it, jumped on, started ministering to him. Running is in the Word of God, and running does something. Not only to the people that are there, because it makes a statement, but it does something to you on the inside. In the natural, really, maybe I shouldn't be running. But my healing is manifesting more and more, and I want to encourage it. Amen. Thank you, Patrick. Because the gifts of healing is a little different than the working of miracles, because working of miracles is something that can happen right now, of course. It's a sign, it's a wonder, and so on. But it's a miraculous act, if you will. But the gifts of healing sometimes takes time. And God will use that. I won't say he put it on you. I would never, ever agree with that. Unless you were sure that you would put cancer on your kid. He doesn't put cancer on us. He doesn't put that to teach us something. That's about as far off from the truth as you can get. He sent Jesus to deliver us from all of that. But anyways, healing is a process. And I know it takes time, and God will teach us wisdom through it. He'll teach us some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit which should be resident in us, one of them being long-suffering and temperance. But he'll also teach us to come to him and to understand his heart, and he'll break our heart with the way that his heart has been broken over his people who are sick, who are in disease, who walk in pain. He wants deliverance. And so, I mean, we could run, we could jump, we could shake. That's okay. And I know that there is the counterfeit. It seems like the enemy, that's all he can do. He's not a creator. He counterfeits. He loves to watch God and try to counterfeit and try to fool us. There are lying signs and wonders. 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us that. But there are the real signs and wonders. There's the real healing. There's also the laughing. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah 8 and 10. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says we have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can you speak about someone who is laughing and keeled over? What do you say? How do you pinpoint that and say, oh, they were laughing on a scale of 2 today? No, there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory, and it's the glory of God. So we can run, we can jump, we can shake, we can laugh, we can sing, we can dance. David, King David, became undignified in his dancing. And he was under the old covenant, meaning he was under the shadow. We all know that Jesus Christ is the person who makes the shadow. And so they were under the shadow. But David danced, and he danced, and he danced. Then how much more can we dance who are not under the shadow? We live in Christ. But I know that a lot of us have been duped. A lot of us have allowed the kind of, if you will, the rusty to come in. You know, like an old car, if you don't use it, if you let it sit, rust comes in. And so we need to be revived in many areas. There was one gal, she talked about revival, and she said, if you take a 55 Chevy who's broken down and all the rest of it, and you revive it, what you've done is you've restored it back to its original shape. But let's go one further. We are in Christ. We have been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. I'm sure that when we were born again, we were jumping and running and speaking and saying things all over the place. I know I was. But over the years, if you're not careful, you can let things get in, kind of like a rusty car, used car. But we don't have to lose the joy and the excitement of who it is that's in us. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is under the 9 fruits, if you will. Let's record it over in Galatians chapter 5. There's joy, peace, long suffering, etc., etc. But there's a joy there. We want his love, we want his peace, but there's a joy there. And so it's okay to do them kinds of things. And I encourage you. I encourage you not to be watchers, but to get in. And I know some of you's work. I have it marked down here. I says, on April 4th, I says, Father, I need strength for change. I must change. I'm okay. I'm happy with the way I'm going. I'm not in sin. I don't have anything major wrong with me or anything like that. But I'm not happy. I want to go farther. I'm not happy in terms of going deep. We must go deep. That's my thoughts. That's my idea. I just don't just want the 30-fold or the 60-fold. I want to go 100-fold. And you know, part of that is jumping up and running. Well, this morning I want to talk a little bit about miracles. And the Lord has given me a few to talk about, mention. And he talked to me about sharing some of the times that I had had in Africa. I won't be too long, but I just want to build your faith up this morning. In going to Africa, I had a friend of mine. I also went with 6 other people. We went over there to work with a couple orphanages. A young girl's orphanage, but yet a young guy's orphanage as well. For church services, what they have over there, because the pastor is a born-again Christian, and he's the guy in charge of both orphanages. We'll call him Phil. And so while going over there, we flew into Nairobi, and he picked up and took us about 45 minutes out in the country somewhere. And here are these 2 orphanages. Actually, the girls' orphanage was not on that property. It was on another one. But we went to the guys, and that's where we stayed, on the guys' property. On the guys' property, it was near some villages. And so on the property, there was a tent, which would hold about 200 people. Tent was maybe this size, maybe a little bigger, I'm not sure. But me and my friend, we had thought, hey, let's go into the tent. And we'll start at 8 o'clock in the morning. This was a couple days after we got there. Got settled, all the rest of it. And we did. We went in at 8 o'clock. But God had called us in. And when he had called us in, all we did was pray in the Spirit. As we prayed in the Spirit, things began to happen. We didn't know anybody in the area other than the pastor. But the things that began to happen was things like this. After a few hours of praying in the Spirit, someone would wander in. This one case, a young lady wandered in. And she began to weep and cry. She was saying, I didn't know that yous were here, but God has spoke to me to come here. And as we got talking, she said, I was an intercessor, but backslidden state. The miracle was that we didn't announce that we were there. there was only me and this friend of mine that were in the tent praying. God sent out his angels into the various villages and ministered to these people, and they just showed up unbeknownst. As we ministered to her and as we prayed, she began to move mightily in the Spirit, and she got rebaptized, if you will. There's an initial baptism in the Holy Spirit, but there's many fillings. And so she was well on her way. A few hours later, again, unbeknownst, a guy came in, and he was dying of cancer. He could hardly get in the place. He was so weak and sick. And he sat back in one of the chairs, and as we were just ministering and praising God and praying in the Spirit, for a while he watched. And then all of a sudden God says, go pray for him. As we did, we cast out the spirit of death. And it was an amazing deliverance, but it was very quick. Very quick. This guy instantly lit up like a Christmas tree. Before long, the gray, ashen skin color left. And he began worshiping God. After a while, he left and he went home. But he came back the next day. We were doing something else, but he came back the next day. And the next day, we were there a couple of weeks. It was hard to shake him in a way, because he had found the pearl of great price. Jesus Christ reached down and delivered him from cancer instantly. Now the pastor there, Pastor Phil, he was taking care of these 80 boys. And one day he was chopping wood for a little fire to put under the stove to cook their porridge or whatever it is they have, the little white stuff. It looks like cream of wheat. Big pots. They cook outside. And as he was cutting with the axe, and he missed. And he cut four of his toes off. Now in Africa, it's not like here, you just don't go to the phone and blah, 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 911 or anything like that. Or you don't jump in the car and go to the walk-in. There's no such thing as that over there. And so he grabbed his toes and he took his hand and he put his toes on his hand like that. And I said, Phil, what did you do? He says, I prayed, and in 20 minutes I put my shoe on. I went back to work. And his toes were still there. God healed him. This is the day of miracles. Phil, again, he was telling these stories, man. Just over there, there's so many things that they don't have that we take for granted here. And that's okay. But I'm just saying. So there was an old car sitting there on his yard. And I seen the car. And it didn't have a carburetor. They were monkeying around with it and working on it and so on and so forth. But it wasn't running. Anyway, there was an emergency that happened. And he had to get to town. He looked at the car and he says, Lord, I need to use that. This is the truth. He went and jumped in the car, started the car, and drove to town. On the way to town, he was worshiping and he was praising. And he said, that's what got me there. And on the way back, that's what got me back. This was a car without a carburetor, without any gas. And I seen the car. Another time, they were hungry. I think at that time, there were 60 boys in the orphanage. They had no food. They get up in the morning. There was no breakfast. So Phil said, let's bow down and let's pray. They all got on their knees and they began to pray, and lunchtime came. And some of the kids said, and some of them were 5 and 6 years old, they were saying, Daddy Phil, that's what they called him, is lunch ready? He says, no, just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. They prayed through till supper time. Now, these stories are true. Supper time came, and the kid says, well, Daddy Phil, it's dinner here. No, just keep praying and keep praying. It was 9 o'clock that night that he heard a knock on the door. And one of the caterers from afar, near Nairobi, had put together a conference and all this food that would feed 600 people. But the conference was canceled and they were left with the food. God directed them to that door. They didn't know Daddy Phil, Pastor Phil, whatever, at all. And they knocked on the door and said, God has directed me here. Can you guys use some food? Well, you know what happened. They feasted. But God is a God that answers prayer. Now, we need to take that and apply it to some of our situations. Because our situations for us may be just as real. By the way, this pastor was a little angry that we took the whole day to pray. He didn't do that, nor did the other folks. It was only me and my friend. But God wanted to heal that guy, and he wanted to restore that intercessor because that's what they needed there. He was a little angry because we had prayed all day. I don't even really think he showed up. But to their joy, when we were coming home, we stopped at Heathrow. And at Heathrow, the liquor board, I don't know what you call it in England, but was open within the airport. And so during our stopover, they were all excited that they could go buy liquor at a cut rate price. And all of them, other than me and my friend, they came with bags of liquor. And they were all excited. So what has happened? If we believe, we will see the miracles of God, or we can get along in this world and look like the world and act like the world and go after the deals that the world has, or we can follow hard after the Lord. Now that's a good story, but it's also a bad one. Because the pastor who would not pray was over there and he was involved with helping the orphanages. The orphanages over there, here's how they eat in good times. Someone from America will send over a big, you know, them trailer things, them storage containers full of food. And they'll be trucked over into the property. And so for breakfast, they go, and they keep it locked. They go see what they can get, take it out. And they don't eat like we eat. Meat over there is a real delicacy. I mean, just to have your stomach full all the time is just kind of a stretch. Whereas we over here, we eat, we make merry, we have joy. But God wants us to move close into Him. He wants us to know that He wants to work miracles in our life. Do you believe that? Because I do. I believe that more and more and more. As I grow more into the Lord, I want to go deeper. And I want more of the Lord. There's another miracle I want to share. We were in the Middle East. We spent a number of months there on three different occasions. would add up to a number of months. And while we were there once, we left Tel Aviv, where we stayed, and went over into Jericho. I believe it was about 20 miles. There were six of us. There was me and Donna and four other people. Was Johnny there? I don't think Johnny was there. But Dean was there and a few other guys. And so while we were going from, we were going into Jericho, we were going to visit this American gal who got saved down in Florida and was now living in Jericho. Now, Jericho is about 100% Muslim. And so we as Christians going into Jericho, but this gal was a Christian. She was born again totally, radically on fire. She had a house there. She lived there in Jericho. She withstood all the firebombs and the car bombs and the names and the opposition and so on. But she was there. When we got there, she was telling us stories about what happened. And they were happening almost every morning. She was saying in the morning she would get up and somebody would be knocking on their door. And the person knocking on her door was a Muslim who had a dream that night about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God brought her over there to explain that to the Muslim. He will make a way. And so when she would answer the door, she would invite them in and begin to share with them the Lord Jesus Christ. While we were there, there was some of the large news networks. I don't know if it was ABC or who was it, but there was a lot of them over there wanting to interview her because this thing was really growing big. But it doesn't matter who you are. If you say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll use you where you are. It doesn't have to be in the Middle East. It doesn't have to be in Africa. We're needed right here. Amen? We're needed right here. We want to go forward. Finally, I would just like to say this, that what you alluded to this morning in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas was in prison. And they had undergone quite a whipping by the Romans. Now the Jews, under law, they could only give you 39, I believe. But the Romans didn't have any limit. And so they were whipped in the town square, in the public. They were taken to this prison. Not only were they in a prison, they went into the inner parts of the prison, the dungeon part. Now, I've been over there and I've seen what kind of things they have in prisons. And I've done time in these prisons. These are a joke compared to that. Although prison is prison. But what happens is they just dig holes. And they put people down there and call them prison. There's no electricity. There's no fans in the ceiling. There's no television. And they put them in stocks after whipping them. Backs are tore open. They weren't tended to, scabbing over, and all the rest of it. The stocks that they put them in would be to lay a man down, stretch his legs, and put them in holes and bolt the boards together. And then take him and put his both arms back through a little hole in the boards and bolt the boards together so you'd be stretched out. But they did. They began to pray, all right, but then they began to worship and praise God. And so for us in our oppositions, on our afflictions and persecutions and all the rest of it, cares of the world, we need to learn how to worship God, because I'm going to tell you something. What we're teaching here on fasting, assimilation of the word, praying in tongues and so on, that probably won't be in heaven, but worship will be. Worship is something that we're learning here and now, and it'll go on forever. Because we're going to be worshiping the Lamb. That's the new buzzword, the Lamb. We want to get close to the Lamb. And so they would be in these stocks, and their feet would be stretched. And they began to worship God. Now, they were in a problem situation. They didn't have no release date. When you walk into a prison today, you get a release date. You know basically either when you're going up for parole or when you're getting released, where you're going to be spending your time, blah, 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 all that stuff. So you have something that you know that's going to happen. Over there, there was nothing. They were in the dark. It was damp, cold. Yes, bugs, rats, whatever. You name it. And they began to worship and praise God. Now, here's what happened. And you know this, but for anybody who's never read Acts 16, I challenge you to do that. Acts 16, verse 16, right through to the end. Verse 32, verse 34, somewhere in there. As they began to worship and praise God, there was an earthquake. Do you need an earthquake in your situation? Do you need the power of God, earthquake style, in your situation? I know there's some things that I do. And so I want to learn how to worship and praise God in the midst of the problems. And so we all need to learn to do that. So as the earthquake came, the stocks, everything fell off their feet. They were free. Now the jailer was about to run himself through and kill himself because the jailer lived in the jail with the prisoners. And if a prisoner was ever to escape, he would get what they escaped, what they were charged for. So if he had a prisoner in his care and he was a murderer, but that murderer escaped, they would take and murder the captain, the prison guard, the guy in charge. But Paul says, listen, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. That would freak somebody out, as they say. Then he says, what must I do to be saved? As we begin to deal with things in our life, and the earthquakes come and shake them off, the shackles we get set free from. And I'm talking about extended periods of time. Offering God the sacrifice of praise and worship. When that begins to happen, things cannot stand. When the supernatural comes up against the natural, something will give. And that's what will happen. And we'll be set free of them things, ready, willing, and able to move on to the next thing. But we need to learn how to worship and praise God at a new level. Finally, just a little thing, but at this little conference we were at, I was talking to someone who was a worshiper and a well-known artist and so on and so forth. And I said, Janet, besides actually doing it and worshiping ourselves, is there anything mechanically, any books, anything like that? She says, yeah. A friend of mine will be here tomorrow night. She's stopping through on her way to Tulsa. She was up in Chicago doing 3 weeks of meetings. Well, she says, Janet said, and she has a book. I says, well, that'll be nice. Just introduce me to her. I'll buy the book and that'll be it. Well, then we go out to eat that night. And guess who's sitting right across from me? Is the gal who wrote the book. I mean, it's a little thing, but to me, it was kind of neat. I didn't have to go anywhere, do anything. We met, we talked. We had fellowship for a while. Then I talked to her about a book. She says, I have one left. She ran out in the car and got it. I mean, little things like that, but God takes care of us. Are you hungry for the Lord this morning? Do you want to see signs and wonders and miracles? Do you want to see people get healed and jump up like Acts 3 and see the strength come into the legs, running, leaping, and praising God of people? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray a continuous blessing on all of us here, Lord. That we would speak to the mountains. That we would worship and praise. Lord, that you would download us the desire and the power to change. You're teaching us what it is, Lord, to worship and praise you. Give us that desire, Lord. Because nothing can stand in our way. Nothing. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just pray a rich blessing. A rich anointing. Thank you for your presence even now, Lord. We receive everything you have for us, Lord. And Lord, we let you know that you are dead. You love us. And you just want to be with us. Have relationship and fellowship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.